Buenos días. ¿Cómo están todos ustedes? Qué bendición estar aquí con ustedes. This is Mission Sunday, and I figured you would need some little bit of encouragement to understand that, hey, this is not only English that we're talking about today. We're talking about all kinds of languages that are around the world, and Spanish is just one of those. And it's a blessing to understand that. And some of you understand Spanish, and some of you are learning Spanish, and some of you would like to forget some Spanish. And the rest of us, we'll just enjoy speaking. I want to tell you that this morning I would rather be in Quito, preaching in church there in Quito, rather than here. But I understand my responsibility, and that's what we will be talking about this morning as we continue the ministry of the church building. Let me just share with you, as Brother has shared, that our responsibilities now are changing. We've gone to a retirement situation, but not retired in the fact that we're quitting. And so our ministry is continuing. We've been in missions for 46 years, and we started in Terre Haute and then came to Lafayette, then went up to Hammond. And we did three church planting ministries in the state of Indiana, where our children were born. We'll show you pictures and get you lined up, see if I got this on right, and maybe I can forward it if I have the right button. Maybe I don't. Okay, let's see if we can get that going. There we go. Missed a couple. That's us. Okay, you see us. Now you want to see our children, right? Okay, that's our son Brad. He's a mechanic for Executive Jets, and now he's an executive mechanic, meaning that he's over the mechanics of that, and he works out of Wichita, Kansas, where Textron has their offices and plant, and so he works out of that from Northwest Indiana. And then our son and they have 9 children. Those are all their children. That's one family. And you see a dark-skinned individual. He's from Uganda. And just last year, they finalized all the papers, and in July of this year, he was came to Indiana. Now he's a Hoosier. Came from Uganda, and they were in a whole COVID thing, and they were in Uganda when COVID hit. And so they had to find the last plane out of Uganda. Brad, our son, stayed there with Ben, who is our grandson, and the whole family was there. And when they went, I mean, we talk about 10 people getting plane tickets to go to Uganda. That was a big ticket. And so God provided everything, and I have no idea how much that adoption cost in total. I have no idea, and I didn't even ask. I don't want to ask. And so now we have 14 grandchildren, and 9 of them are on the picture here. So it's a blessing to have our children enjoy their life here. And so we'll continue on with the next one, and we need to go forward. It's not going. So can you move it ahead for me? If this doesn't work. There we go. That's Dave and Brenda, and they're 2 boys. And what a blessing it is to have them in Ecuador and their church planting in Ecuador with our mission, and they're home at right now in the States and doing their ministry here in the States, and they'll go back in December. And they have a church in Cayambe, which is 2 hours from where we were in Quito. And so it's a blessing. And then our youngest daughter is with her husband in South Carolina. He's a musician, not a magician. He's a musician. There we go. And they have their family there in South Carolina. That's our children. And then keep right on going. So help me, brother. There we go. We'll get this thing moving. It's either you or I, huh? Okay. We're going to Quito, Ecuador. All right? Quito, Ecuador. City of 2 million people. That's big. That's a lot of people. It's sitting in a valley. There's only part of the city. I couldn't get it on one picture, and you can't take a picture because there's mountains all around. And this is sitting right in the valley in Quito, and there's a lot of people there. God has laid on our hearts the ministry of Quito. We have two churches there, small churches. One has 80 attending, and the other one 25. And the ministry continues on. And our goal is to start the third church, which I'll talk about in Sunday school as well. That's the center of Quito. And that's the mountain that we see every day. How would you like to see that every day? But we don't have any snow where we are. That's all in the mountain, because we live 30 miles from the equator, and so the beautiful climate of 50 degrees to 75 degrees all year round doesn't change. No seasons set wet and dry, and that's it. No fall like you enjoy. Like, my wife is just taking all kinds of pictures, and that mountain, guess how far away that is from where this picture was taken in Quito. That mountain is 19,000 feet above sea level. Fantastic, beautiful mountain. It started spewing ash a few years ago and continues on now. And so it's an active volcano. And so about three times we have had ash in our yard from that mountain 60 miles away. And so that ash comes blowing in from the south. That's a part of Ecuador. Let's talk about the problems that we face in Ecuador. The problems are all around. And you think that we have problems here in the States. Listen to this. That's a riot. People are rioting because they do not agree with the political situation in the government. So they go hit the streets. This is downtown Quito, about an hour from where we lived in South Quito. These pictures are all pictures of people who are angry. And they hit the streets. And when they hit the streets, everything shuts down. No buses, no work, no traffic, nothing. Everything is shut down. The whole country shuts down. How would you like that in the USA? And so it's a tremendous problem. That's a third world country where they don't know how to solve their problems. And you say, sounds a little familiar. Realize, brother and sister, that God is in control of everything that goes on. In our world when we're in Ecuador, in our world when we're here in the United States, God is still in control, and we realize that, and we understand that. And this morning I want to share with you about church building. What Jesus Christ said, "I will build my church," is very, very important for you and I. And that is still going on. And the ministry that we started a few years ago, four decades ago, in the Lions building, is continuing on 40 years later. And it's a blessing for us to realize that there are problems, there are difficulties, but what did Jesus say? I will build my church. Sad. I mean, there's total destruction in Quito. And these people go home and leave the destruction in the streets. It's amazing the amount of destruction that they cause. That's a bunch of people, isn't it? Unbelievable. Just You and I, we see this on TV. We see what's going on in Israel. We see what's going on in Ukraine. This is what in 2019 in Ecuador. And we've been through a few of those. We can't go out because this face means we're from the U.S. Means that we have money. Of course, you and I know that's not true, but they don't know that. So we can't go out onto the street when this happens. And so it's very, very important for us to understand the culture of the people. And that took very, very much responsibility for us. Let's talk about the ministry that God has given us. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, the background to Christ's declaration. And let's realize that the background to Christ's declaration, I will build my church, begins in verse number 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And so Caesarea Philippi is in north Israel, northern parts, real close to the Lebanese and Syrian border, which is a tremendous problem right now. So as we go by the Sea of Galilee, which is in this picture, and go up north in Israel, we come to Caesarea Philippi. And this is where all the checkpoints are in northern Israel. And we saw that, but when we were there, it was very, very quiet. It wasn't like it is now. Of course, you couldn't get this close right now. And there's Caesarea Philippi. Mount Hermon is up north, which is the source of the Jordan River in the Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee receives all the water from the mountain, Mount Hermon, and then flows into the Sea of Galilee, into the Jordan River, into the Dead Sea. This is the furthest north point of that water. Why would you go to Caesarea Philippi? The background of Christ's declaration. Caesarea Philippi was a place of sin. Philippi was, Philip was the son of Herod the Great. He was given this city, this area, this city, and so he renamed it Caesarea Philip after his Roman leader and himself, Philip. It was tremendous, tremendous idolatry in this city. And there is one of the places where they had the idols that they worshipped. The Greek gods were there. The Jews never came to Caesarea Philippi. So our question is, why would Jesus go there? And that will be answered. Because it's very, very important when you look at the background to the verse, "I will build my church." In verse number 13, he says he went to Caesarea Philippi. The only place where he could get away from the crowds, the Jews would not follow him there. They would never go to Caesarea Philippi because of all the Greek gods and idolatry that there was. The Jews learned their lesson in the Babylonian captivity. When they were in idolatry before the captivity going into Babylon, when they came out of Babylon and went back into their country, they refused the idolatry of the world. They learned their lesson. And even today, the Jews will not have any idolatry because of the Babylonian captivity. Before that, there were idols all over in the temple that Solomon built. You can just read that in the prophets, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. You can read that. It was full of idolatry. And so when Caesarea Philippi was built, with all the idolatry that went into that, the Greek goddesses, they refused to go there. They refused to visit. They refused to be involved with that city. It was a sin city. And so Jesus said, as they were going to Caesarea Philippi, I'm getting away from the crowd, and I have something very special for you as disciples to learn. Now, how would you like to be a disciple when none of them would have ever been to Caesarea Philippi and Jesus took them there for one purpose, to show the difference between his person, the person of Jesus Christ, and the idolatry of the world, and his plan that he had already planned for the future after his death, resurrection, and ascension. And so he said, we're going to Caesarea Philippi. Verse number 14. He asked the question in verse 13, and so they said, some say that you are John the Baptist and Elijah, and others Jeremiah and one of the prophets. They're all confused. The people are all confused. Who is Jesus? But you and I know who Jesus is, right? We know who Jesus is. He is the Son of God, and that's where Peter comes in as he continues on. And he says to them, but who do you say that I am? The question is not what the world thinks of Jesus. We know what the world thinks of Jesus. But who do you think is Jesus? What are your thoughts about who Jesus is? And so Peter makes the statement, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He had it right. He enjoyed it. Having it right, and he knew what Jesus had intended to do here on this earth. He is the Son of God. Against all idolatry that was around them in Caesarea Philippi. Then Jesus says in verse number 17, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. This is the identity of Jesus, who he is. And this is very important for all the nations to understand. Who is Jesus? And you ask the question in your own minds and in your own hearts, and you said, one day I believe that Jesus is my Savior from sin. Amen? That's the way it is. That's what you said. That's what you did. You believed in your heart, and you were saved from your sin, because Jesus died. That's the identity that we have in Jesus Christ. We believe that he saved us. Jesus is the only hope of salvation for the world. In Ecuador, we live in a country where there are 95 to 96% Catholic. Who is Jesus for the Catholic? If you have any friends or family members who are Catholic, you understand what they believe. You understand what they think of Jesus. And the question that we always ask is, who's more important, Mary or Jesus? And that's very true. And you have to identify who Jesus is to any Roman Catholic so that they would understand and then come to Christ. That's very, very important for them to understand. And so the disciples had to make the identity of who Jesus Christ was very clear. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Number one, he said, you are the Messiah, what we are looking for. The Jews are looking for their Messiah. He came, fulfilled all prophecy in the Old Testament. Every single prophecy was fulfilled when Jesus Christ came to this earth. He fulfilled everything. And when he was dying on the cross, what was his last words? It is finished. It is finished. What was finished? All the prophecy of the Old Testament was finished. He fulfilled everything. And you and I know that that was true. And we believe that, and we preach it, and we teach it. We tell our children, Jesus Christ fulfilled all the prophecy of the Old Testament as he is here on the, when he was here on the earth. And it's a blessing for us to have the opportunity of sharing that with everybody who is around us. We know that Jesus Christ came. He fulfilled all prophecy. And then he said in verse number 18, "And I also say to you that you are Peter." What's the definition of Peter? Who was Peter? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, the foundation of the church. Peter, Petros, in Greek, it's a little stone. That's very important. As you realize and as you study this verse, "And on this rock," okay, what's the rock? The word rock is Petra, not Petros. In Greek, there's two different words. Petros is small stone. Petra is a massive stone. And that stone is the foundation stone of the church. Now, you have to understand that Peter was not referred to in the next phrase. "And upon this rock," that's not Peter. Very, very important to understand, because Peter is a little rock. This rock is the massive stone. And I want to show you a picture of Petra in Jordan. A massive, huge rock. I would love to go to Petra. All that was chiseled out of the huge rock. There are buildings in that huge rock. This is just a face that you see. Behind that is a building inside of that. And they had to cut that out. That's Petra. That's the rock that Jesus referred to. It wasn't referring to Peter. He was referring to the rock that Peter had just got through saying, the identity of Jesus Christ is the key. Upon the rock, Jesus Christ and his identity as the Messiah, as the Christ, as the Savior of the world, upon that rock, I will build my church. And the verses that I have on the screen are verses that deal with the foundation of the church. Now, you have a cornerstone here in this church. And when you build a building like this building, you put the cornerstone in last, right? If you know anything about building, you'll put the cornerstone in last. And then you have the dedication of the building, and you have the cornerstone right there, and everybody sees it. In the time of Christ, and earlier in the Old Testament, the buildings were put on the solid rock of the foundation. The cornerstone is in the foundation. The cornerstone, remember Samson? How could he pull down with those pillars and bring down the whole house? Do you know how? He knew. And he asked that little boy, "Take me to the pillars that hold up this house." He was blind, and so what did he do? He said, "I want to get to the pillars." And so when he got to the pillars that held the whole house, he just pulled on that and the whole thing fell down. Why? Because he took the cornerstone, which is the main stone rock that holds up that whole temple in the time of Samson. And so you don't put the cornerstone in the time of Christ in last, you put it in first as the foundation. That's the foundation. Upon that stone, the rock, the foundation, the cornerstone, you build the house. And so this massive rock, which is Jesus Christ, his identity as the Messiah, the Son of the living God, is the foundation for your life and your church. This church, this local church, has a foundation. It's Jesus Christ. It's not that little cornerstone that's about that size. Very, very important, brother and sister. You know why? Because when all the things in our world crumble down, what stands? What stands? The church. The church stands firm because the church has the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. And so when Quito has all their riots, and we had two men who were in those riots because they were army and police, they were guarding the palace, they realized that this is just people in political upheaval. In Israel, that's people having a political upheaval. In Russia, they want more land. Ukraine, defending themselves. Whatever happens, the church, your life is built on the church, the body of Christ, and you're here as a part of that body of Christ, and you are secure because you are a part of the body of Christ. You are secure because the rock is still set, and it's not going to move anywhere fast at all. So as you sit here in one local church, and they're preaching in a few local churches in Quito, it's the solid rock that we're talking about that built this church, the church, the body of Christ. So don't ever think as you listen to the news that the whole world is caving in, because Jesus Christ said almost 2,000 years ago, I will build my church. That's the declaration. The identity of our foundation is Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You can take that and build your life on that principle, brother and sister. And as long as God is giving us breath, we can do that. And that's why I'm not quitting. God has given us health sufficiently so that we can continue on preaching and teaching and encouraging missions in this church, in any other church that we're going to, so that we can continue doing our ministry of building the body of Christ. Jesus said, I, the identity that we have in Christ, will, that's a future, and on the day of Pentecost, that was the initiation of the body of Christ, the church. Acts chapter 2, Pentecost, all the way to the rapture, which is future for us, because the rapture has not occurred. You and I are still here on the earth. But when you as a believer stand before Jesus Christ, you will be raptured up out of this world, snatched away, raised if God takes you home before in death. You will be raised first, and the rapture takes place, and we will be together in the air with our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the church. When does that occur? Not even Jesus knew that fact. Because in Acts chapter 1, he told his disciples, I don't know. The angels don't know. Only my Father does. And when God says to his Son, now it's time to go, gather the church, that's the rapture. That's the blessings that we enjoy. Because our foundation is sure, that's not going to change. And in all my ministry, I am not changing that, because this verse says, I will build my church. It's not our church. It's Christ's church. It's his church. Aren't you glad? Because he's the Son of God. He can control a church. And so as we're here in the United States, and we're sharing with churches, the church of Jesus Christ continues on in Ecuador and around the world. That's the blessing that we enjoy. It's truly a blessing for us. It's truly a blessing for us. And so as we go, what does Jesus say? I will build my church, and the gates of hell, or Hades, will not prevail against it. Do you know what that picture is? That's what the Jews call the gates of hell. That's what they call it. In Caesarea Philippi. That's why they didn't want to go there. You would not want to go close to the gates of hell, would you? I don't think so. That's the gate. They call that the gates of hell. You know why they called it the gates of hell? Because of what I explained. There were idolatry, tremendous idolatry in this city, and they built this temple that you see as a picture of what it could have looked like back in the time of Jesus Christ, and said, this is the gates of hell, and no Jew wants to be close to the gates of hell. And so we identify with that and say, the Bible says, I will build my church, and this is the opposition to that fact, that declaration. Satan wants to destroy the plan that Jesus Christ has for his church, and he's doing a very good job of subtly destroying the church, one doctrine after another, are coming into the church and destroying the teaching of the Word of God. I've been in ministry long enough to see a lot of different doctrines coming in and destroying, because the gates of hell want to destroy the church, the body of Christ. You and I know that our foundation is sure. But when a false doctrine comes in, people question the truth, the identity of Jesus Christ. And as we think about what Battleground Bible Church has been through in the 40 years of their history, it's tremendous, unbelievable. The doctrines that have come into West Lafayette, Indiana, the United States is a tremendous, tremendous satanic teaching against the church. But what does Jesus say? These gates of hell will not prevail. Will not prevail. And so as you sit here and as I stand preaching, we have the solid security that the church Jesus Christ built and is building is secure. We don't have to doubt the security of the body of Christ. I and you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, are a part of that body, and we are secure in that body. We are secure. Amen? Are you secure in that? I want to close our worship message, and I will continue in the Sunday school hour showing you pictures of the building of the body of Christ in Quito. I want to challenge each one of us. Do you know that you have trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And you can say, I remember the day. I remember where I was. I remember that Jesus Christ died on the cross because my Sunday school teacher, my parents, my pastor, pastor's wife, whoever shared with you the gospel, you could say, I know today that Jesus Christ is my Savior. I am a part of the body of Christ. I am secure. And if I were to die today, what a blessing. Directly to heaven. But there may be some of you, older, younger, that may say, Brother, I really don't know. I really don't know. I want to talk to you I want to help you after the service, after Sunday school. If you do not know that you have the rock as your foundation and the body of Christ as your security, then we can talk. If you would have that and want that in your life. I grew up in a church where there was none of that security. That's why I built and started Battleground Bible Church, based on the doctrine that it still holds today after 40 years. The same doctrine, I know that, because I know all the pastors who've been here. I know that. And you've come here because you agree with the doctrinal position. Brother and sister, there are doctrines that are coming in to destroy the church. And when I grew up in a denominational church, I separated from that and said, I am starting independent Bible churches with doctrine that's biblical, based on the Word of God. I separated from false doctrine, separated from the teaching that I received when I was a young boy. At age 10, I trusted Christ as my personal Savior, and at age 14, I completely consecrated my life and said, I will go anywhere that you ask me to go. And that meant Ecuador. I had no idea at that point where. And for 30 years, we've been ministering in Ecuador. My heart is there, and it's not done. The ministry continues, and I'll share that in Sunday school. How that is shaping up, how it's got plenty of opposition. Satan's not stopped yet. He's working 24/7, and I realize that. But I know my foundation is sure, and that's not going to change. Do you have that assurance? Do you know for sure? When I was a young boy, teenager, I never had that assurance. I had no idea if I was going or not going to heaven. Wow, that's horrible. That's a horrible feeling. And it's even worse now if it's all these problems that are going on in the world. That's even worse now. But you can have that assurance. And as I studied the Bible in Bible college and in seminary and after that, I know where my solid foundation is. And it wasn't in me. And it wasn't in my parents. It was in the Word of God. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the blessings that we enjoy, because Jesus Christ built the church and is building the church. And we understand that the gates of hell continue to try to destroy, but they will never prevail. We understand that. We understand your word. You have taught us. Your Holy Spirit teaches us your word. And so we're very thankful, Father, for your word and how you have provided for us. Thank you, Father, for the blessings that we enjoy being a part of the body of Christ and using our gifts to encourage others, using our gifts to help others, using our gifts as a body of Christ to encourage others in their faith. So thank you, Father, for this morning, and thank you for the privilege that we have to open our hearts to you so that you and continue to give us that security that we need in our lives, knowing that you're the foundation. Jesus Christ died on the cross so that we could have eternal life. Thank you, Father, for that eternal life. And I pray for each one in this room that they would tell you in prayer, along with me, I know that I have eternal life. And I know that one day I will see you face to face in heaven. And I know that one day Jesus Christ is coming back to take us to heaven. And Father, if there is one or two or three, older or younger, in this room who do not have that assurance, I pray that you would work in each of their lives. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.